to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, loving Sairam, good morning and greetings from Prashant Nilem, the Divine Valley, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live, and this is the segment Morning Glory. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, filling in for Sister Karuna, as she is away for today. To begin with, dear listeners, let us all collectively place our humble salutations at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. Today is 14th of June 2018 and the time right now in our studio is 9:40 a.m. The temperature here in the ashram is about 26 degrees Celsius and it's a cool and pleasant day, a pleasant weather condition here. The Vedam and Bhajan session in Sai Kulanth Hall just now concluded and as I speak right now, dear listeners, Swami's devotees have lined up in Sai Kulanth Hall to bow to the sacred Mahasamadhi. Well, the Anantapur campus of Sai Institution is celebrating its golden jubilee next month, that is 21st of July. Yes, Anantapur campus is the first educational institution set up by Bhagwan, which is completing 50 years, half a century, wow. And as part of the ongoing buzz about this upcoming homecoming event, in this segment Morning Glory, Sister Karuna has been playing for you golden voices of alumni of Anantapur campus, sharing their happiness and excitement about this upcoming homecoming event. And today, to begin with, I will play for you a few more audio clips. After these audio clips, you will listen to a conversation which Sister Karuna had with the current director of Anantapur campus of Swami's Institute, Dr. Rajeshwari Patel, and with an alumni of Anantapur campus, Miss Lakshmi Menon. Stay tuned, dear listeners. I'll be back again.
Sai Ram. This is Soumya Srinivasan from Chennai. I completed my BA and MA in English Language and Literature from Swami's Institute in 2003 and 2005 respectively. My life as Bhagwan's student at the Anantapur campus was groomed with love and values to face various challenges that I was to face in future. True to it, I humbly offer all my achievements at His lotus feet for choosing me as His instrument. I am very elated and proud to be a part of this grand Golden Jubilee celebrations and pray to Swami to remove all obstacles and pave way for our physical presence at the spiritual capital of the world, Prashanthi Nilayam, on July 21st and 22nd. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram, pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. I am Mrs. Gosha Librahan, residing in Ambala from Haryana in India. I joined Bhagwan's Gurukul, the Anantapur campus in the year 1984 and passed out in 1989, completing my intermediate and graduation with light arts. I feel blessed that my journey of 5 golden years at ATP forms a minuscule part of the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Anantapur campus. Incidentally, we the girls of 89 batch feel doubly blessed, and the joy multiplies when our 50 years of being born seem to be coinciding with the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Anantapur campus. The Golden Jubilee celebrations mean a conglomeration of 50 different batches who've passed out enriched from the portals of the Anantapur campus. It offers a lifetime opportunity to sing and celebrate the glory of our Lord, Mentor and Chancellor Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba together as 50 batches. Anantapur reminds me of what an ideal teacher should be, how a hostel offers a home-like environment and nests young chirpy girls from far and wide. It is due to a lot of good karma accumulated in the past that we've all had the opportunity to be tutored under the watchful gaze of Jemma Madam, Pushpa Madam and all the others. Wherever I've reached today, Bhagwan, personally and professionally, I feel and I know it is due to your divine love and care which you have blessed me with through teachers and your messengers at Anantapur. What more could I have asked in this birth of mine? With prayers and your blessings, I look forward to be present for the Golden Jubilee celebrations on the 21st and 22nd July 2018. Jai Shri Sai Ram.
Pranam Swami, Sai Ram. I'm Uma Venkatesh from Muscat with maiden name Uma Parameshwari. Had a golden opportunity of pursuing my PUC and BCom at ATP campus from 1984 to 89. Ever grateful to Swami for giving me this golden opportunity. Those days with Hemlata Madam as our principal and Jayana Madam as our warden, and God Himself as our chancellor, there was nothing more to ask for in life. The institute has taught the students the human values apart from the regular education, and has produced best daughters, wives and mothers who are the pillars of a family. I feel blessed to be part of His mission and honored to be a student of ATP campus. Wishing ATP campus on embarking this journey of Golden Jubilee, I pray Bhagwan to bless all those who continue to serve the institute as His messengers. Swami, always be with me and my family, Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I am Padmavati Srinivasan from Chennai, Tamil Nadu. I did my BSc Mathematics during the period 1992 to 1995 in Sri Satya Sai Institute of High Learning, Anantapur campus. Bhagwan gave us a perfect training ground in the form of this residential institution, and I cherish each and every moment I spent here. It chiseled each and every girl in a unique way to be a better individual in the family as well as in the society. In fact, my period of education was really golden, where I witnessed major transformations that took place in Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of peace. Our hostel at Anantapur was indeed a home away from home, as I felt no dearth of love and affection there. I take this as a great opportunity to thank Bhagwan and all the teachers for imparting an impeccable education that will never diminish in its value for years to come. I'm eagerly looking forward to be a part of Golden Jubilee celebrations of Anantapur campus and Prashanthi Nilayam on July 21st and 22nd, 2018. Jai Shri Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, it's a wonderful morning here in Prashanthi Nilayam as we are sitting down for a conversation with an alumna of the Anantapur College, the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who also happens to be its current director, and that would be Dr. Rajeshwari Patel. And the reason we have invited Dr. Patel to the studio is because Anantapur campus of the Satya Sai University is the first educational institution ever set up by Baba and the first to celebrate its Golden Jubilee in the year 2018. On that very happy note, I welcome Rajeshwari Madam to Radio Sai. Saira Madam.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel to be heading an institution of which you were a student and that institution is turning 50 soon?
It feels good to have, seen this institution grow from what it was 50 years ago to now. Because I came to the fold in 1972, so I have seen the best part of these 50 years. And I've seen the institution grow from a single building to a complex of buildings. And so it makes me feel a sense of satisfaction that after having seen it through all the ups and downs and all that, that now Bhagwan has entrusted the responsibility of the campus after that many years. And in fact, I didn't think of it that way, because for me, any work that Bhagwan entrusts is a work I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was made or asked to be the director of the campus, I accepted it as Bhagwan's gift and responsibility given by Bhagwan to shape the institution in a manner that would make him proud. So that's how I took it. And it's after I took charge that I realized that this is the 50th year of the institution. So it's a golden jubilee year. And so I felt that maybe there was a purpose in Bhagwan putting me in this place in 2017.
So what can our girls, the 50 batches of students who have graduated and we are spread across the globe, what can they look forward to in connection with this special event?
For every student who has studied in this institution, it is a matter of joy and pride to return to the institution when it celebrates its 50 years and relive all the memories that they have with this institution, with Bhagwan, visiting the campus and interacting with students and all that. So I think for them, coming back to Anantapur or to Prashantinilayam to celebrate this occasion would mean recalling all those beautiful days that they spent as young girls with Bhagwan as their mentor and guide and guru. And it will also help, I think, all these students to come together as one family. Because I think at the end of it, no matter how many years separate us from batch to batch, and no matter how far away we are from each other, we all still feel that we are Anantapur students. So coming together on this occasion would bring all of us sisters together on that day. And we can together offer our gratitude to Bhagwan for this wonderful education that he has provided us.
Indeed. Madam, I understand that there are two programs that are being planned. Two dates are very important. One is July 8th and one is July 22nd, 21st and 22nd. So the weekend of 21st and 22nd, which is Saturday and Sunday, we will be celebrating with Swami's grace and blessings, hopefully, in Prashantinilayam. And on July 8th in Anantapur, could you throw some light on that, please?
The thing is that because our girl students are not permitted to put up a program in the Kulwant Hall.
Like a drama. A program,
That kind of a program. Yes, a drama in the Kulwant Hall. So we thought that there are some programs that we used to put up in front of Swami at Anantapur. So, and Bhagwan would allow us the freedom to put up a play, we'll have a dance and all that. And that is the place where he allowed us the freedom to put up programs in his physical, divine physical presence. So we thought that 8th July happens to be the anniversary of the building. So it is 8 July 1971 when this building came up to house the college. Before that, it was on 22nd July 1968 that this college was started by Bhagwan on rented premises of the Government Girls High School, Anantapur Town. So since that college got shifted when the new buildings were constructed, so that occasion we thought we could have the girls coming to Anantapur. And we could have maybe a play and some other short program. So those who can come on 8 July, we would be really glad to have you all there. because actually on the campus you can see the hostel, you can see the changes that have been made now and the improvements on the campus with new buildings, new facilities and so on, which many girls say 30 years ago haven't seen at all. So that would be one way of welcoming you all to the campus, returning to your home and all. 22nd July, because we thought that it's such an important day for all of us, 50 years of Swami's educational vision. And so we thought that we could have that program at Prashanthinilayam because we want the whole world to celebrate this occasion. Of course, all of us will be present there and all the girls who can come, we would like them to come. And 22nd July is in a way of commemorating this gift of education that Bhagwan has given to the world. And Prashanthinilayam is the best place from where that message should go out to the world.
Absolutely, very well said. And I think it's a gift of education, women's education and women's empowerment. Mm. And we just realize how silently Bhagwan worked.
You see, the fact that he opened first a girls institution, a women's college, itself shows that way back then, 50 years ago, Bhagwan was thinking about
exactly
women's empowerment. What people are talking about today, he had already envisaged.
And what people are talking is just such a myopic view of women's empowerment. And Swami did it so silently and so holistically because he stressed on the atmic empowerment of
because
women.
Because normally, you know, you see Bhagwan used to often interact with boy students. So the idea that Swami opened a girls' college first doesn't click in their minds. So it's good to remind people that Bhagwan started a girls' institution first in the series of education institutions. Because after that, in 69, he started the college for boys in Vrindavan. And after that, I think in 72, the Ishwaramba High School came up. And then 79, the college at Prashanthinilayam for men. So this is the first ever educational institution. And it was a girls' institution, which is
very historic and momentous.
Both. Yes, very, very. Okay, on this occasion of celebration of the 50 years of Bhagwan's educational vision, I would like to invite each and every student living in every village, town and city of India and living in all other parts of the world to please come, join us and let us all together celebrate Bhagwan's gift to us. Celebrate the love and the grace that we received from Bhagwan and let us feel blessed to be in His divine presence at Prashanthinilayam.
Wonderful thought. So on that note, I hope all our sisters all over the world who are listening, they will make it a point to schedule their date for homecoming to the lotus feet of our Lord so that we can all bond as sisters and offer our gratitude for all that Bhagwan has given us as His loving daughters, as His princesses that we feel like.
Yes, another reason why we should all come to Prashanthinilayam and come back, as you said, home, is that we have to remind ourselves of our responsibility. Having completed our education here in Bhagwan's institution, what are our responsibilities? We have to carry forward this message of Bhagwan to every home, every part of the world. So I think it's good for all of us to come together so that we remind ourselves of
so that we can recharge and
recharge.
And reconnect and rejuvenate and all get together and learn from each other.
And I think it's also payback time.
You know? Totally.
We have received so much. Now we have to actually give back.
And you know, if we think like we are giving back, it's so gratifying because Swami gives back a millionfold. You know, you shed one tear out of love for Him or gratitude and Swami fills us with so much of joy. Mm. I think sometimes when we don't come to Parthi often enough, we forget what it feels like to just sit in the Saikulvanth hall and to gaze at His divine presence. Mm. Thank you, madam, so much.
Sarah.
And now I'm very delighted to have with me Sister Lakshmi Menon, who's also an alumna of the Anantapur campus and one of the volunteers in the base camp right here in Prashanthinilayam, helping us to coordinate this wonderful event, the Golden Jubilee of the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sai Ram Lakshmi.
Sai Ram Vivi.
What is your message for your sisters around the world?
I extend a very hearty and very warm and loving welcome to all the sisters who have graduated from Anantapur, be it 1 year, 5 years, 3 years, 7 years, or even 10 years, all of you, please do make it a point to come home to Prashantinilayam and to Anantapur in the month of July in 2018. And I also would like to say that we have a lot of programs lined up in which we want the participation of all our sisters, and we want to be as inclusive as possible across batches, because after all this is the 50th year. And let us all make it a grand event, and let us use this opportunity to rejuvenate ourselves in Swami's divine proximity, rekindle whatever memories we've had in the campus, reconnect with each other, and also recommit to whatever we have learned at Swami's lotus feet in terms of giving back in very small measures whatever we can of our talents, our time, our service to society, and whatever Swami always wanted us to do. He always stressed on service to society. So despite family commitments, despite academic and professional commitments, sisters, let us all come back together here and just, you know, reconnect and recommit to Bhagwan again. Once again, I extend a very hearty and loving welcome from all of us here at Prashantinilayam and Anantapur. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Lakshmi. And dear sisters, wherever in the world you are, if you want to experience that warm, fuzzy feeling that we all experience in Swami's divine presence, this is the time to book your ticket so that you are here for the month of July. And as Dr. Patel Madam told us, 8th of July, we meet in Anantapur, 21st and 22nd of July, right here in Prashantinilayam. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, once again, greetings, good morning, and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Morning Glory, and I am filling in for Sister Karuna. I am Raghu from Radio Sai team. The time right now is 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and just now, till now, you listened to a conversation that Sister Karuna had with the current director of Anantapur campus of Sai University, that is Dr. Rajeshwari Patel, and with an alumni of Anantapur campus, Miss Lakshmi Menon. All right, now it's time for the second half of the segment Morning Glory, that is an episode from the ongoing series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Last week, you listened to a conversation with Brother Gopal Krishna. The first part of the conversation with Brother Gopal Krishna. And today, you listen to the second part, which also happens to be the concluding part. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Brother Bishu. Have a listen, please.
So all those things happened and we waited and the results came. And then I was so happy. The first question I asked was, when should I join? And I was told I was supposed to report back on May 18th because Swami, after such a long time, is starting the summer course again.
Oh, summer course is restarting?
1990, yes.
Mm.
So I went home. Parents were crying.
Oh.
They were crying because they didn't know what happened to me.
Where are you going? What is happening to your life?
No. I was supposed to be back on 9th.
Oh, okay. You didn't
after inform the exam. I did not inform them. There was no way of informing them.
Hmm.
They thought I am lost and all those things.
Oh.
I reached home 12th was the results declared, and 12th late at night around 1 o'clock, final bus, I reached home. And there are relatives at home.
Oh.
Thinking that
it's a crisis.
All because of me.
Hmm. But what could you have also done?
I couldn't have done anything. Yeah, I did not know what to do.
Hmm.
Everybody, they don't know whether to shout at me or whether to praise me or whatever. But at that moment, I felt that is the right thing to do. I just simply did it. That's all. Anyway, parents were happy to see me, and father declared clearly, "No, you are not joining that place." So that was a big letdown.
Mm.
But slowly mother pacified him and said, no, let him go. Because they also realized that this is a teenage boy, and I have already told them, 6 months ago or so, that if you don't give me money, I am walking out. Although I was never serious enough to carry out that threat, but they do remember that. So they said, okay, anyway, he's going to a good place. He's not running away, this thing. So let him go. So then father asked, how much fees? And then I told, no fees.
Hmm.
It's a free college. All I will need is for my food and stay, which is about, I think it was some 1,500 something per term.
Yes.
So, 3 terms together, 4,500, and some 500 rupees for my expenses, about 5,000 per year is all I need. So I said, okay, take it. Remember, father had retired, so he had limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, now that I recall, probably he wanted me to take up a job, is what I am thinking, but may not be true. So anyway, I joined, and now I was more hopeful that I will be able to see a magic or miracle.
At so that was close. Uppermost in your mind.
It still was uppermost in my mind.
To see him at close quarters,
or at least find an explanation to all these things. That was the goal. The goal was nothing. I just wanted an answer, the mystery to be cleared. So that happened during summer course. Summer course, the first few days, I joined late because I had some practical exam. They rescheduled or reclassified me so that I could finish it a little earlier and finish practical exam. I didn't have whites. I was told to come in whites. I didn't have whites. I had off-white colors. I wore that and came and joined. I thought I will come reach here and then buy whites, whatever is necessary. So the first day, I am sitting about 15th row in the auditorium, in the Brindavan auditorium.
College auditorium.
College auditorium. That's where summer course used to happen. And I was near the aisle. And I thought I have one of the best seats possible because I am not low down. I am halfway through the hall, a little more than that. And I am in the center stage. So I can see exactly what is happening everywhere. And that day, Swami's discourse was over. And then there was a cultural program. One little boy was, now I forget what, he played something, maybe he played mandolin or something, some instrument he played. And Swami was sitting on the dais, which was unusual. I didn't realize that time that it was unusual. He was there on the dais, his chair was put on the dais, and off and on he will look at the audience and then he will look at the boy, look at the audience, look at the boy. Most of the eyes I could see that was focused on Swami, not on the person playing the instrument, and so which I found very strange. For me it was very strange, of course. And once the program was over, Swami got up, he waved his hand in large circles, and suddenly a locket came into his hand. And the person next to me said, "Avatar." And at that moment, all my doubts vanished. Swami was, maybe he looked at me, maybe he did not, I don't know. It was just a fleeting second all this happened. I had this powerful smell of jasmine all around me. Or maybe only I felt it. That is also possible. But in that fraction of a second, or maybe a second, all the doubts that I had cleared off. The urge to decipher what he is doing vanished. He kind of put an end to it. Or he had given me the answer to all the doubts that I had.
So that one word was enough, avatar. And what you had seen.
I had seen.
Together they conveyed everything.
Conveyed everything. Now, it was not at the scientific level that I was expecting. But it is at a level where I wouldn't... The doubt is cured. I no longer wanted to see a miracle at close quarters. I no longer wanted to explain using science what the miracle was. Everything ended. I can still logically define everything. The logic says that, look, if a person says, develops a protocol of this is how you do the experiment, you have to follow the protocol that has been given. Now here is Sai Baba, who has given you a protocol of what to do. And then he has said, you can also do it if you follow what I am giving you, the instruction. So scientifically I can explain, if I want to repeat what he is doing, then I have to follow whatever he has told me. Otherwise I cannot repeat it. So at a logical level, I am satisfied. But at a much deeper level, I am satisfied. I don't want any more questions. I don't have any more questions. All those things ended.
It's really so strange, the whole experience. I mean, you having that strong urge that came from nowhere. And then he brings you, you know, he facilitates, he instills that desire in you to study here.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is not why you had actually come.
No, not at all. Far from it.
Yes. And then he brings you here, summer course happens, and even before the academic year begins, you are already set.
Yes.
To accept and assimilate what this place has to offer.
Yes. I thought it's going to be a long struggle, but it wasn't even a moment struggle. When he hits you hard. And he really hit me hard. Fortunately.
At the right spot.
At the right spot.
He's been preparing us. You know, when you think about it, he has been preparing us for...
We don't know how long.
How long.
Actually, we don't know how long.
Mm.
So, I myself was surprised that the questions, the doubts, the... There were several other things which bothered me. The way everybody would address each other as brother.
Mm.
The extreme respect for elders.
Mm.
All those things bothered me
mm-hmm.
when I first came in. Swami's pictures everywhere.
Mm.
But in a moment everything vanished. I said, yes, this is how it exactly is supposed to be. How else can it be?
So all these questions also vanished. All these allied questions also
vanished. Yeah, all those associated fringe questions, everything.
So you accepted, you started accepting everything.
Accepted. Oh, I have still have a long path to learn.
Mm.
But these kind of...
You stopped questioning.
Yeah, silly questions.
Mm.
These are all mostly surface questions.
Mm.
There is no depth in these questions. So these questions simply vanished. It made no sense. It's not the question vanished. Whenever the question, it's silly to ask those questions.
Mm.
There are deeper questions which remain, deeper learnings which I still have to learn. But the surface level questions, gone. Biggest thing was, can science explain miracles? In my mind it became very clear. It cannot, period.
Oh.
It cannot. Reason is, science is not yet developed to that level that it can begin to explain all this. It's not that the scientific temper is not needed, or scientific temper will not allow you to progress further. That's not the point. The point is, science begin with the assumption that the physical is everything, and these things are beyond physical. And at certain level, I accepted that dichotomy.
Mm.
I will do science, I continue to do science, I'm a decent scientist in my own right. But for me, it causes no doubts that Swami can do this.
You know the limitations of science.
Yes.
You reconcile with it.
Yeah.
And you also know that just like science can never ever measure fragrance.
Yes.
Science can never ever measure the beauty of a sunrise.
Yes.
What is beyond the senses is beyond the senses. Science can never touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it led me to that level, and I am happy that it was not a long struggle for me. It all happened almost in an instant.
Wow.
Maybe the only thing I can say about is I was truly scientific in the sense that I kept an open mind.
Hmm. Yes.
I did not come with a prejudice.
Hmm.
I said, I will explore anything and everything that's available.
Yeah, you came to explore, not to expose.
Yes, exactly. I came to explore. I will explore with any tool available to me. Mm. And if an answer comes, I will accept it.
Mm.
And that's what happened. So, Swami knew how to provide an answer. He didn't even have to come within 15 feet of me to give me an answer. He was away 50 feet and more away.
Mm.
And one glance, one look was sufficient to kill everything.
Wow.
1990 summer course.
Yes.
Most unforgettable moments of my life. Anything new that happens, it remains unforgettable. And anything new that happens with Bhagwan is forever etched in memory.
Yes. And you probably also were blessed to listen every day to Bhagwan's discourses.
Yes.
Because, you know, when the summer course happens, then even before the academic year begins, you have the opportunity to listen to so many eminent speakers and scholars.
Yes.
And every day also listen to Bhagwan's discourse.
Yes.
And for someone who is absolutely new to everything, someone who is trying to assimilate, figure out, discover, that is a fantastic orientation program.
The only problem there was, I did not know Telugu.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't gather Swami's discourses first hand. I had to wait for the translation to happen. I took copious notes.
Mm-hmm.
I filled up probably 3 notebooks, just Swami's discourses and everything. The translations of it. And now when I go back and listen to the original, now I understand Telugu. I can read, write, understand, probably type Telugu. No, not a problem. I wish I could now travel back in time and listen to Bhagwan once again.
Mm.
And that's where these recordings, old recordings, helps so much. One of my favorite pastimes is to just put on one of Swami's discourses and sleep listening to it. 2 things happen. At the conscious level, his logic is infallible. His examples are irrefutable. And I have observed at the subconscious level, you get to imbibe those teachings. They come out exactly when you need it.
Mm.
You don't have to recall it. They will automatically spring into your consciousness because you have been listening to it. This happened several times in my life, and there are several examples where I can very clearly say, I didn't think about it, but this is coming from the depths where I have heard Swami speak about it, and it has come to my rescue. At that moment, either rescue or help or guidance, whatever you say.
So the master resonates in you. In your conscious level as well as in your subconscious level.
Yeah.
Through his message.
Yes. Yes. Provided we allow him to permeate at that level.
Yes.
I think that is where our efforts are. When we accept him at a deeper level, he responds from that level. Big words, but...
Yes. In fact, it's really interesting. Just yesterday I was reading one article where scientists are trying to see if they can alter our dreams or they can give content for our dreams.
Mm.
So they are trying to penetrate that state where someone is in the dream state. Or rather what they do is when someone is in deep sleep, they have this gadget which will monitor your muscles and will monitor your blood circulation and then...
Or brain waves even.
Brain waves, yes. And they know that you are in deep sleep.
Yes,
and then
dream
they,
state.
And then they...
Stimulate.
Stimulates gently so that you are... out from the deep sleep into the dream state.
Yes.
And at that point in time, they want to inject a few words. They want to inject, some content.
Yeah.
Which they think will be
modify your dream.
Yeah, or? We'll modify your dream.
I mean, these are the kind of experiments that yes. people are doing. Yes. And, you know, and I'm thinking,
what better thing to put into our consciousness than Bhagwan's message?
Yes, yes, yes. Then Bhagwan's message, exactly, exactly. His words are some of the most beautiful things to sleep with, you know.
Yes.
Cell phones may be the worst thing that technology has invented, but it is the most beautiful thing because I have a dead cell phone which is of no longer any use, but it is right next to our pillows. We sleep listening to Swami's discourse on that every night.
As Swami always said, I mean, technology can be used in two ways. Technology, you know, yes. it can trick you, or you can take knowledge also.
Take knowledge, correct.
It all depends on how you use yes. it. Yeah. So you joined Swami's school. Summer course was grand beginning. Yes. You have now settled in your mind who is Sai Baba, at least to some yeah. extent. Yeah. No more questions. Yeah.
After that, I have seen Swami perform miracles at very close quarter, as close as a feet away from my eyes.
Mm.
Still, that curiosity never jumped up again.
Mm.
I didn't have to. And I wasn't even looking at the miracle. I was looking at Swami's beautiful face, nothing else.
Mm.
So, clearly he had killed that doubt in my mind. Mm. So,
wow. And spirituality begins when faith sprouts. Because faith is a bedrock of spirituality.
Yes.
And he ensured that as you joined his college, that happened at the earliest.
Very true. I wouldn't say there was perfection itself, but he killed the single most important doubt.
Yes.
He cut it off at its head.
Mm.
So I was left free to explore the other aspects of his beautiful divine form.
So what were the other aspects? I know as a student you did academically well. You received gold medal from his hands. That would have been also a prized moment.
Yes, it was prized because that was witnessed by my parents.
Oh, wow. What was the reaction?
They were proud.
Mm.
Among so many people, they were treated very well by our authorities, etc. And one incident my father never failed telling me was when they first visited, I had invited them for this gold medal event, and they had gone to the shed, and all the old students and their parents were staying there, and the Sevadal there, for whatever reason, had treated them very roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So my parent actually walked out, and this was birthday time, 1992, there were hundreds and thousands of people around.
Mm.
And somehow the word reached me that my parents have arrived.
Mm.
I didn't know when they are coming really.
Mm. You were in the hostel, yeah.
No, 1992 I had left the hostel.
You had left, correct. Convocations later.
Yeah, convocation day. On an impulse, I ran towards a particular shed.
Mm.
And my parents were outside that. So this was another little of small Sai miracle, I would say, because to find them there among such a large gathering at a particular place was very fortunate for me. I felt very happy beyond my words that I could actually find them. Then take care of them, take them for food and everything. And everything happened. The Sevadal, I went and apologized. I don't know why I went and said, sorry, these are my parents there. So he showed everything and everything went on well. The next day, for whatever reason, I received the gold medal from Bhagwan. Bhagwan gave me the gold medal. I brought that and showed it to the Sevadal. I received gold medal from Bhagwan. The Sevadal got up, immediately touched my father's feet. I felt so happy that my father was respected. So that was a very touching moment for me. So receiving medal and getting my, making my father feel proud of me, was one achievement. So, ultimately, I think every child wants to show his parents, look, I have achieved something that you can be proud of. Your efforts have not gone in vain.
Yes, absolutely.
I have made something out of myself.
In fact, Bhagwan says that for for any parent, the child is born at that moment when he or she brings laurels to the parents. That is when actually the child is born. Until then, you know, it was only in the making.
Yes. Yes.
So, I can understand how special that moment was for you and how touched your father also would have felt at that point.
It also comes back to our little argument and tiff that we had when he was sending me here.
Mm.
So, it was kind of proof, at least in my own way, it was telling him, Father, it was not a waste. I actually did something good. So, he was very happy with that. And he mentioned it at least 3-4 times to me, that remember that Sevadal. I really don't know what transpired between them. But when he touched, he felt very happy. Because of me, that Sevadal chose to touch my father's feet. So, that was... It is not to put down the Sevadal, he was doing his duty and everything. Just that my father was respected.
Hmm.
I felt very happy about that. So that was the journey, and then I joined PhD at Raman Research Institute, completed PhD. There were several small instances. We used to come for, at Raman Research Institute, so whenever Swami was there at Whitefield, we would travel all the way, reach Whitefield. Interestingly, the bus number used to be 333E.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
So, E stands for enlightenment. So, so those things happened. Visited Puttaparthi several times in between. But just kind of slowly, I wouldn't say drifted away, not in the... drifted away physically.
Yes.
So it was... For a long time, we were never, I was never close to Puttaparthi. But before that, one incident happened, and this is, I never wanted to leave Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to serve Bhagwan in whatever capacity possible.
After you finished your post-graduation?
Post-graduation. And I came to know that there was vacancy in the school for a chemistry teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. And a biology teacher. Satish Babu sir, who is the current warden, was my batchmate, my colleague. We both were waiting. We both were talked to by the principal then and now, Shiv Ramakrishnaya sir and Sailesh sir. Both of them talked to us. Do you want to really join? What is your goal? What is your idea? So, see, the whole life we are directed towards one thing. And somebody comes and says, can I give you that thing? So, what will I say? I was jumping for joy. I had told my parents I am never coming back from Puttaparthi. And all those, you know, fantastic. And
your parents also were okay now?
Yeah, now they are okay.
Hmm.
After all this. They had seen a change in me over a period of time. After I joined Puttaparthi, whenever I go to the holidays, they realized that it's not that I'll become a sannyasi or anything. I am serious about things. But at the same time, I have become more respectful, more concerned about their needs, etc. So, they were okay, in a way. By then, my brother had stabilized in his job. He was in bank as an officer. My sister was doing well in her studies. I was a middle child. I am a middle child. So, I'm kind of free, you know. Neither the responsibility of younger, nor the... responsibility of the older one. Neither ways, I am kind of free. So they weren't too concerned, which gave me joy that I can be here, you know, with Bhagwan. So we were sitting in Thrai Vrindavan, Satish Babu sir in front of me, little bit in front of me. We were sitting together, Swami in his jhula, and he called Satish Babu sir and pointed to Habbu sir and said, let him join. This happened sometime in late May, after the summer course, just before the school reopened, etc. And when Satish Babu sir went, I got up on my haunches, waiting that Swami is going to call me next. No, because that is how things happened. Everything, we were both talked to simultaneously together, etc. But Swami never looked at me after that.
Oh.
And the day passed, the next day passed, the next day passed, it became a week, a month. I am running short of cash, no money. Father is saying, maybe you will not get the job, you come back. I am saying, no, I want to be here. Those times we were called the waiting boys.
Yes.
We used to wait. Everyone as long as possible. So, finally one day, in Prashantiniliam, the Swami, summer course over, Swami came to Prashantiniliam, we followed him, and Swami was here giving darshans. One good thing about being the old student at that time was, you stay in the old hostel right opposite to the Mandir.
Yes.
In fact, Kulwant Hall was not there. So, if you stand on the balcony there, you can see Swami directly.
It's from the old hostel, yes. Which is sort of attached to the yes. East Prashanti. Yes.
So, and most of our time was actually spent in the Mandir.
In the Mandir. Because you had nothing to do. You had to wait for Swami, literally wait
literally
for Swami.
Wait for Swami, Swami yes.
All through the day.
Not talk to anyone, nothing. Yes.
It was a very beautiful sadhana period in a way.
Yes. But mind is always agitated, right?
Yeah, because you want him to guide you, want him to tell you what you have to do in life.
We don't know when he will turn towards us and say something. One day, he suddenly walked out of the interview room in great speed. And he said something which is memorable to me. He said, I am the big magnet. I will see how you will go away from me.
Oh.
He told those, not just to me,
yeah.
I mean, those who are around. I am the magnet. I will see how you will go away from me. He seemed some kind of agitation. So he walked out very fast from the interview room, well after the interview and all is over. And then he walked out and immediately Radhakrishna sir used to be there. He got the cars. Swami sat in the car and left. I think he left for the hospital and then he came back, something like that. But those words, those face, those expression, I'll never forget. And here I am thinking, Swami, I don't want to leave. Why are you saying go? But he knew the longer term things, right? So after that, one day in the morning session, I got up and asked Swami finally, Swami, high school join karna. And suddenly Swami became this far away person, you know. Till then he is looking and everything. He looked far away and said, haan, kar sakta hai.
You can join.
हाँ कर सकता है
yes
but he didn't say anything he said हाँ कर सकता है with that it ended I went and told Habu sir that Swami said कर सकता है so yeah Swami said to you he didn't tell me so I suddenly realized oh that is how it should work right I mean Swami should actually point to Habu sir and said take him didn't happen and then the family circumstances changed and finally I had to leave So sometime in September I left and then things changed I joined Raman Research Institute I wrote the entrance exam got through for Raman Research Institute completed PhD but every time kept asking Swami why not back again
you wanted to come back
yeah that desire never left I wanted to come back and I wanted to teach. Two things never changed. Then I joined the Hindustan Leavers. And since it was very close to Whitefield, whenever Swami was there, almost every occasion, run off for darshan and come back. And put extra hours to compensate for the job. And then circumstances changed further. I had to go abroad, joined there. In between, got married. There also, as soon as I completed PhD, I wanted to come back again.
To
Swami,
Parthi.
Swami, I have completed PhD, now give me a person. No response. And then life took its own turn, continued. But at the back of the mind, it was always there. I need to go back to Parthi. I need to go back and serve Swami. In US, we always felt Bhagwan's presence in very strange ways. We traveled a lot, myself and wife. We traveled a lot. And at every place we go, we will try to find the Samiti there. And often it will not be there. But large cities had Samiti or Bhajan Mandali, etc. We will join the Bhajan if possible. But everywhere we went, we will find Swami's photo. Somewhere. Not the one that we are carrying, but somewhere there. once we found it in the airport. Our first trip was the most strange thing. We had gone to Canada for a conference. Tulsi had a conference. And we still had not seen Bhagwan's photo. So that afternoon around 3 o'clock or so, we got out of our hotel room and started walking in the streets. We saw a shop, a clothes shop, and got in. We still don't know why we got into that shop. And corner of the shop, guess what? Swami's photo is there. And we both were so excited that the salesperson started running towards us. What happened? What happened? I said, that photo, that photo. He said, oh, you know him? I said, yes. That is put by our owner.
Owner? Oh.
Yeah. I said, oh, very nice. You must meet him. I said, no, 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 don't disturb him. No, 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 he'll be very happy. And he calls up, within seconds, he calls up the owner comes rushing, happens to be an old student.
Oh, my God.
Much, much senior, of course. So, that happened to be a Thursday. They had a bhajan in Toronto, and what he said was, in Ottawa, and what he said was, hey, there is bhajan, I am coming and picking you up at 5 o'clock, get ready. So we told him the address where we were staying, and he took us, and we had fantastic. So Swami kind of changed our whole stay in Canada after that. So every day we would visit, we would talk with him, and he will tell us experiences of Bhagavan, which, see, I am from the 1992 batch, he was from the 70s batch. So the experience was completely different.
Yes.
So like that, several incidents. Once we were in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, and we were thinking, where is Swami? And it's already 2 days over. We haven't seen his picture. And we were very sure that he will show up somewhere. He's playing hide and seek. He just wants us to find him, search him. So we were going around, and then this frail old, lady, cute lady, was selling things, bunch of things in small bottles, curios basically. And I was picking up things, and then suddenly I saw a white powder. So I was thinking, what is this? He said, do you know Sai Baba from India? I said, yes, I know. He said, this is Vibhuti created by him.
Oh my God.
And you're selling it? Yeah, it comes on a picture there.
Oh, comes from a picture.
So I was thinking, Swami, you have strangest ways of interacting with us. And we got talking, and it led to wonderful conversations. We went and saw that picture and Vibhuti coming, etc. That is one aspect. Another aspect of Bhagavan which I always felt is he prompts answers from you. I mean, if you allow him to speak, he will prompt the answer. At that moment, we will, in our mind, it will be very clear who is answering actually. It's not he, it's he. So, our little, at Lubbock, Texas, we don't have a big mandali or anything. So, we have a small bhajan group. And I learned some programming, some things, some web designing, etc. And put up a website for the Lubbock Satsang Mandali, and through which we wanted to say that, look, bhajans are happening every Thursday, you can come and meet. So we have a group of 14-15, we had a group of 14-15 people who will meet every Thursday without fail. After this 9/11 incident, that plane crashing into the building, in the US there was a consciousness that we should understand the other religion a little better. So, towards that, a lot of people used to come. They would read this website and they will come and visit us and say, hey, what are you doing? What is it about? We will say, come on, join. Feel what we are. Understand what we are. If you have questions, answer them. We will answer them to the best of our ability. We won't say we will satisfy you, but we will tell you what our best understanding of that question is. So, through that, what happened was, there is in the Texas Tech University, there is a law professor who was teaching law and religion. in that he called different people from different religion to come and speak. So they could easily find a rabbi, they could find a Muslim mullah and everyone to speak, pastors, etc. But they couldn't find a Hindu person to speak. So finally, he saw the website and he called me and said, "Can you speak?" I said, "I will try." "What do you do?" "I'm research scientist at Texas Tech." "So not a problem, why don't you come over?" So we had a brief discussion and then he said, "Come and speak to my students and I give you 1.5 hours. And that put me in a fix. Hinduism is such a vast thing. What do you speak about? And the problem is, this is not a mature audience. These are students. So I have to cater to that. At the same time, I had to give an understanding of what is Hinduism. Very difficult task. If I start about Rama, see, Rama creates an impact for us, because as soon as we say Rama, the whole Ramayana flashes back to us, yes. Right? And we understand the significance of who Rama is. I cannot ever hope to explain the significance of Rama to these students in half an hour or 1 hour. Impossible. If I start with Mahavishnu, I am lost completely. So I was thinking, what Swami, what should I speak? So for the longest time I couldn't gather. And as I was driving, it just flashed. Hey, why not the 5 simple principles, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, right?
Okay.
Why worry about anything more? Swami has very clearly enunciated all these things. Why not talk about that? So I didn't even begin to translate what is Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. Somehow by the time I reached there to the venue, an outline had formed in my mind how to begin talking about all these things. I won't say that I have thought about it. It all came. So I said, I need a board. I drew India's map, the peninsula, drew the Himalayas, and drew the Sindhu River on the northwest. And I said, this is how India is. What does Christian mean? One who follows Christ. Islam means one who has submitted to God. What does Hindu mean? Hindu actually doesn't mean anything. It is because those who came from Northwest couldn't pronounce Sindhu, it became Hindu. So Hindu, the word itself, is meaningless. So what do you call yourself? Immediately the question came back and I said, we call ourselves Sanatana Dharmi, one who follows eternal principles. And what are the principles? Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. And even in that, what is most important? See, if you are walking on the street and you find a child is about to fall, what do? You rush and try to protect the child. Is that your child? No. Do you worry anything at that moment? No. Do you care about even yourself? No. What prompted you to run towards the child? Love, prema. That is what Hinduism proposes. It says, your first reaction is prema, and that is what you have to follow. And what is this Bhagavad Gita? After some discussion, I said, yes, Bhagavad Gita is a wonderful text. Again, one of these discourses that Swami had talked about, just flashed back again. In that, Swami talks about bank account. I'm sure you would have heard that discourse. So I said, look, we all, when we are living in the world, we create a bank account. Now, if we want to close the bank account, the account balance should be nil. If there is less money, I mean, if we have drawn from the bank, the manager will say, you deposit this much money, amount will come to nil, then I can close the account. If there is excess money, he will take that money and give it to you and say, this is your balance money, then the account can be closed. The less money means, if we are drawn from the bank, is called bad karma. We have to do that. We have to fulfill it. The excess money is our good karma. Good karma or bad karma, we have to experience both. There is no escape. Then only the account can be closed. So if we really want to close the account, there are 3 ways we can do. The first way is, we work out the karma. If there is If we have drawn from the bank, what do? We work so that we put in back. Which is why everybody says do good karma, so that you are filling, and when it comes to zero, you are free. There is a second way, and that way is you go and catch hold of the manager's feet. Somehow you please escape, make me escape. I don't know how this all happened. I know it is my fault. Please show me some mercy. That's what God can do. He can wipe away your karma, good or bad. He can simply say zero and make you free. That is Bhakti Marga. The first one where you work towards filling the account, getting it to zero, is Karma Marga. There is a third way. You go to the bank manager and tell him, I am sorry sir, you have a misidentification. That is not my account at all. And that is Jnana Marga. You have misidentified yourself with the body. You finally say, no, I am not the body. That account itself is wrong. No more karma for you. So those are the three. So which is better? I said, no. All this I am thinking, I am saying, but it's not me saying, honestly. Like a rope, there is a rope hanging. There are three threads on the rope which are intertwined. Bhakti, Jnana, Karma, Marga are like those three. When you climb, you have to climb all three. You cannot just hold one of them and climb up. That is impossible. You have to climb all three at the same time, simultaneously. These answers impressed him so much that he started talking about all these things to others.
Mm-hmm.
So we were called to talk at different places in different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Even outside cities called us to talk about just this.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Mm.
In one place where we went, it was a big hall with several doors. So one lady got up at the end and asked, tell me which religion is the best? And suddenly another answer came up. See, we are all in this room. Yes. Suppose there is fire in the room. What do? We will rush out. Does it matter which door we are getting out of? It doesn't matter. The door may be small. The door may be big. The door may be well ornated.
Mm.
There may be usherers at the door. It all doesn't matter. All that matters is that you escape the fire.
Mm.
You get out of. All the religions are like different doors. The world is in fire. You are on fire. You have to get out. It really doesn't matter which door you use. All are same.
Mm.
That really impressed them very much. Mm. And it made sense. It made logical sense given the circumstances. So again, it is... This example also Swami has given in one of the discourses.
Mm.
At the right time, the correct answer is prompted.
Mm.
At the background, these things are running.
Yes.
You don't have to think about it. As soon as the question comes up, the answer also comes up.
Mm.
Swami gives that answer. Gives that answer.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
एकोंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अर्जुनी से भंग गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच।
Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai Govind jai jai Gopal jai jai Govind 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 j The Lord was once asked, "What relationship must ours be best described as?" "That of a master and disciple," replied the Lord. "For there is no reason or season for the bond that exists. Guru is the dispeller of darkness, the light whose radiance we seek to enlighten the path. The Guru shines forth selflessly so that we may walk the path boldly, so as to not stumble over the peaks and slip at the troughs. Then there comes a time when the disciple turns to the Guru and seeks the Guru himself. The seeking has to be earnest, the restlessness of yearning irrepressible. It is only then that the effulgence of His grace turns to reveal His own truth, the truth that the Guru without was a mere reflection of the Guru within, the truth that Guru is Hari and Hari alone is the Guru."
Hari
मन तर पत हरी